Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. This is the fifth episode of the 18th topic. The 18th topic deals with the Isnan of the seven canonical readings. In the previous episodes, we have discussed the reading ascribed to Nafi ibn Abi Nu'aym and to Abdullah ibn Kasir. So we had discussed the Isnad of these two readers and seen the nature and the extent to which they can be regarded as correctly reported. And we also seen how the teachers of their teachers can be established or not. We begin with the third narrator now, the third famous canonical reader, as we know, as you all know, that we have selected these readers, these seven canonical readers, on the basis of Abu Bakr ibn Mujahid's selection, who himself had selected these seven earlier on in the 4th century. So the third reader that we're going to discuss as chosen and selected by Abu Bakr ibn Mujahid is Asim ibn Ibn Nujud, and he's also called Asim ibn Bahdala. It is known that he was born in Kufa during the reign of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, and this would be something between 41 and 60 Hijrah. So this gives you a rough idea of the era of Asim, and he died around 126 or 127 or 128. We have differences in opinion in this. So around about 127 Hijrah. So this would give you an idea of the period and the era in which he lived and taught the Quran. As is been our custom, we shall discuss the teachers of Asim, who have been reported by Isnad-supported narratives. As far as these are concerned, the narratives report three major teachers or three teachers of Asim in this regard. As you can see, their names are being displayed before you. They are Abu Abdurrahman al-Sulami, who died in 74 Hijrah. Then we have Zir ibn Hubaysh, who died in 82 Hijrah. And in the third place, we have Abu Amr Sayyid ibn Iyas al-Shaybani, who died in 101 Hijrah. So these are the three teachers who have been reported in Isnad-based content found in our earliest books of readers and reciters. Now let us start with the narratives in which these three personalities have been regarded as the teachers of Asim. The first narrative, viewers, is recorded by Abu Bakr ibn Mujahid in his Kitab al-Sabra, and it says, حَدَّثَنِي بِهِ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ بْنِ مُحَمَّدْ بْنِ شَاكِرْ قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا يَحْيَى بْنُ عَادِمْ قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا أَبُو بَكْرِ بْنِ عَيَّاشْ قَالَ لِي عَاصِمْ مَا أَقْرَآنِي أَحَدٌ حَرْفًا إِلَّا أَبُو عَبْدُ الرَّحْمَنِ السُّلَمِي وَكَانَ أَبُو عَبْدُ الرَّحْمَنِ قَدْ قَرَعَ عَلَى عَلِي رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ وَكُنْتُ أَرْجِعُ مِنْ عِنْدِ أَبِي عَبْدِ الرَّحْمَنِ فَأَعْرِضُ عَلَى زِرْ بْنِ هُبَيْشْ وكان زر قد قرأ على عبد الله بن مسعود قال أبو بكر بن عياش فقلت لعاصم لقد استوسقت. So Abu Bakr ibn Ayyash said, Asim told me, no one else taught me the Quran except Abu Abdurrahman al-Sulami, and Abu Abdurrahman read out the Quran to Ali. And when I would return from Abu Abdurrahman, I would read out the Quran to Zir ibn Hubaysh. And Zir read out the Quran to Abdullah ibn Masud. Abu Bakr ibn Ayyash said, I told Asim, you have acquired this Quran in a sound manner. So the words are, لَقَدْ إِسْتَوْسَقْتَ. You can see its chain of narration, the chain of narration of this narrative being displayed before you in the form of a chart. Now let us begin analyzing this chain of narration. As far as Abu Bakr ibn Ayyash is concerned, you can see his name being indicated by a red arrow. Al-Zahabi records in his Mizan al-Itidal, he is Sadukun Saptun in Qira, however in Hadith, Yaghlato wa Yahimo. So although he is very, very trustworthy in the matters of Qiraat, however in matters of Hadith, he makes errors. And since here, viewers, he is acting as a transmitter of information. So therefore, that is the reason that we are entertaining Jar on him. Otherwise, as a Quran reader, as I pointed out in my first episode on this subject, that whenever Jar on Quran readers is concerned, when they are acting as Quran readers, we would not entertain them. However, when they are acting as transmitters of information, then we shall entertain the Jar, because in that case, they are actually transmitting knowledge, or they are transmitting whatever has come into their knowledge. And since the Jar on Hadith in her Rijal books has been penned down on them vis-a-vis this transmission, therefore it has to be entertained. Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Numair regards him to be weak. We are discussing Abu Bakr ibn Ayyash. Abu Nu'aym says that none of their shuyukh make more errors than Abu Bakr. Ahmad ibn Hanbal says that he is trustworthy, yet at times makes errors. Another opinion of Ahmad ibn Hanbal about him is that he makes many mistakes. However, his books are free from error. Yahya ibn Sa'id is reported to have said that had Abu Bakr been near him, he would have never asked anything from him, and it is also reported that he would not regard Abu Bakr to be of any stature, and when his name would be mentioned before him, he would contort his face as if in disgust. Asim ibn Najud is transmitting some information. This is the next point of Jar on this narrative. So Asim ibn Najud is likely to be transmitting some information he is not contemporaneous to. This includes Abu Bakr, Abdurrahman al-Sulami and Zir ibn Hubash reading out the Quran to Ali and Ibn Masud respectively. This is evident from his statement, which does not mention that he directly heard this information. So the way he has mentioned this in the narrative, it clearly tells us, or at least gives us this strong hint that he has not directly heard this information. In the first subsection of the chain, viewers, you can see that this narrative has some subsections, and there are five of them. So in the first of subsection of this chain, Yahya ibn Sulaiman ibn Yahya is suspect. You can see that his name is being indicated by an arrow. Al-Mizzi records about him in his Tehzeeb al-Kamal that according to a Nasai, he is Laysa bi-Thiqa. Ibn Hibban has recorded him in his As-Siqat and said, Rubbama Aghraba. Ibn Hajar says, Saduqun Yukhti. He also records in the opinion of Abu Hatim, he is Shaykhun, and that Al-Darqutni regards him to be Siqa. Moreover, Abu Ja'far ibn Rishdan, who is actually Abu Ja'far Ahmad ibn Muhammad ibn Hajjaj ibn Rashdan, is also weak. And this is the person that we are discussing. And you can see that his name is also being indicated, and he occurs in the leftmost section. Ibn Hajar records, Ibn Adi says that authorities have regarded him to be a liar, and that he, that Ibn Abdi, saw many munkar things in his narrative. We are discussing Abu Ja'far ibn Rishdan. Ibn Abi Hatim. Now, Ibn Abi Hatim says that he heard narratives from him in Egypt, but did not narrate from him because authorities have regarded him to be suspect. Also, viewers, no tawseek is available on Ahmad ibn Muhammad ibn Umar al-Jizi, as you can see that his name is also being displayed before you. So since no tawseek is available on him, so therefore we will regard him to be an unreliable person and consign him to the category of Majhul in accordance with the principle that I had earlier formulated, that we have to have positive information of tawseek regarding a narrator. In the absence of any tawseek information regarding a Quran reciter who is acting as a transmitter, we will actually consign him to the unknown category, and therefore not and therefore this would be a source of weakness in the narrative that he is transmitting. Now, as far as the narrators of the second subsection is concerned, all of them are okay till Abu Bakr ibn Mujahid. So this is as far as the second subsection is concerned. Remember, we have discussed the upper section in which the basic problem is that Abu Bakr ibn Ayyash is an unreliable narrator, and the fact that Asim ibn Najud is transmitting information he is not likely to be contemporaneous to. But we are now also discussing the individual subsections of the narrative. The leftmost subsection is suspect because of the flaws that I have just pointed out, and the second one, it does not have any flaw. In the third subsection of the chain, no tawseek is available on Muhammad ibn Makhlad. He's also called Ibn Abi Makhlad. You can see that his name is being indicated by an arrow. So therefore, since no tawseek is available on him, then we shall, again, in accordance with the same principle, we will not regard him to be reliable, and he would be actually majhul. It may also be noted that Ibn al-Jazari mentions him as an entry. Az-Zahabi does not even list him as an independent entry in his Ma'rifat al-Qurra' al-Kibar. So Ibn Abi Makhlad is not even listed as an independent reciter or a qari or a Quran reciter in Zahabi's Ma'rifat al-Qurra' al-Kibar. Similarly, viewers, no tawseek is available on Abu Tahir Muhammad ibn al-Hasan ibn Ali. And you can see that his name is also being indicated. So therefore, he must also be consigned to the category of majhul. In the fourth subsection of the chain, Zahabi records that Hafs ibn Umar ad-Duri, you can see that his name is also being displayed before you. So Hafs ibn Umar ad-Duri is outstanding in qiraat, but is laysa bizaka in hadith. He is regarded to be za'if in the by Darqutni. So again, since he is transmitting information here, we have entertained jar on him. Moreover, viewers, no tawseek is available on Abu Shoaib, Salih ibn Yaqub, ibn Salih ibn Hisham, even though Ibn al-Jazari mentions him as an entry, and you can see that his name is being indicated by an arrow as well. So therefore, in accordance with the principle formulated, he must also be consigned to the category of majhul. It has been pointed out that no tawseek is available on Abu Tahir, Muhammad ibn al-Hasan, ibn Ali. So therefore, we can see that this fourth section is also plagued with a number of flaws. Now, in the fifth subsection of the chain, no tawseek is available on Abu Yaqub ibn Muhammad ibn Khalifa al-Asha. Even though Zahabi and Ibn al-Jazari mention him as an entry. So both of these illustrious biographers of our Qurra mention them. Zahabi in his Marifatul Qurra al-Kibar and Ibn al-Jazari in his Ghayatul Nihaya, they mention him as a separate entry, but no tawseek is given. And similarly, in accordance with the principle I have coined, I would not regard them to be reliable and consign them to the category of majhul. Another problem, which is very similar to the previous one, is that no tawseek is available on Muhammad ibn Habib, as you can see that his name is also being indicated. And again, we find that Zahabi and Ibn al-Jazari, they do mention him as an entry in their respective books. So therefore, he is also to be consigned to the category of majhul. So this is as far as this narrative is concerned, viewers, the first of these. And you can see that in this regard, the five subsections that we've discussed, only one subsection is okay. The rest of the four have their flaws. But above them, the basic flaws, which covers all the subsections, is the personality of Abu Bakr ibn Ayyash and the problem that Asim ibn Bahdala is transmitting information that he's not likely to be contemporaneous to. The next narrative, viewers, that we are going to discuss is recorded by Dani in his Jamil Bayan fil Qiraat al-Sab'a al-Mashhura. And let me read out this narrative before you. It says, "Anna Asiman akhbarahu annahu kana ya'ti zir annahu kana ya'ti zir ibn Hubaysh fayuqrahu khams ayat. Annahu kana ya'ti zir ibn Hubaysh fayuqrahu khams ayat fala yazidu 'alayha shay'a. Summa ya'ti Aba Abdurrahman fayu'rizuha 'alayhi." Abu Bakr ibn Ayyash said that Asim informed him that he would come to Zir ibn Hubaysh and he would read out before him five verses and not exceed this count. Then he would come to Abu Abdurrahman and present them before him. So this is as far as this narrative is concerned. You can see that its chain of narration is being displayed before you. The problem here again is that the personality of Abu Bakr ibn Ayyash is figuring in this chain of narration, and I have just read out the jar on him, which is very likely to make this narration to be suspect as well, because such is the nature of that jar. And not only this, another thing that I need to point out here is that there is a person called Abdul Jabbar ibn Muhammad ibn Umar ibn Atarud. You can see that his name is being indicated by an arrow. No tawseek again is available on him, even though Ibn al-Jazari mentions him as an entry and discusses him in his book Ghayatul Nihaya. Therefore, again, in accordance with the principle, no ta'dil is available on him, no tawseek is available on him, he cannot be positively recorded to be a person of any reliability and has to be consigned to the category of majhul. The third narrative, viewers, now I'm going to read out before you, and this has been recorded by Dani in his Jamil Bayan fil Qiraat al-Sab' al-Mashhura. It says, حدثنا خلف بن إبراهيم المقري قال حدثنا أحمد بن محمد قال حدثنا علي بن عبد العزيز قال حدثنا القاسم بن سلام قال حدثنا حجاج عن حارون عن عاصم بن بهدلة أنه قرأ القرآن على أبي عبد الرحمن السلمي وزر بن حبيش وقرأ أبو عبد الرحمن على علي وقرأ زر على عبد الله. So Harun reports from Asim that he read out the Quran to Abu Abdurrahman As-Sulami and Zir ibn Hubaysh, and Abu Abdurrahman read out the Quran to Ali, and Zir recited the Quran to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. So viewers, you can see the chain of this narrative being displayed before you. The problem, viewers, in this chain is that it is extremely doubtful whether Hajjaj ibn Muhammad ibn al-Awr heard from Harun ibn Musa al-Awr. You can see that the chain, both of them being indicated. Now, this is evident from Anana at all places where one of the earliest authorities, Abu Ubaid, mentions the two in his Fazail al-Quran. So, one of the earliest authorities, Abu Ubaid, in Fazail al-Quran, whenever he mentions that it is between the two, there is Anana. And this exists at several places in Abu Ubaid's Fazail al-Quran. And I have enumerated a lot of them, indicated them in various narratives which Abu Ubaid has recorded. There is not a single instance without Anana in all these entries. Not a single instance. Perhaps for this very reason, no authority regards Harun ibn Musa al-Awr to be among the teachers of Hajjaj ibn Muhammad in the biography of Hajjaj ibn Muhammad al-Awr. So this is something which is very, very strange. Otherwise, this information should have been there, that he is a teacher of Harun ibn Musa is a teacher of Hajjaj ibn Muhammad. This is, we do not find here. Conversely, no authority mentions Hajjaj ibn Muhammad al-Awr to be among the students of Harun ibn Musa al-Awr. So if we take the other entry as well, the converse relationship is also not established. Because in the biographical notes on Harun ibn Musa al-Awr, again, this does not exist. And when I say these biographical notes, I refer to, of course, al-Bukhari's Tariq al-Kabir, Ibn Abi Hatim's al-Jarh wa-Ta'adil, Ibn Hibban's al-Siqat, al-Khatib Baghdadi's Tariq Baghdad, Mizzi's Tahzib al-Kamal, and so on. All these books do not mention this information as well. Another point of contention here is that it is also doubtful whether Harun ibn Musa al-Awr heard from Asim ibn Abi Najud himself. So it seems that there is a double inqita. This is the second case of inqita present here. Now, why do I say this? I say this because it is evident from the fact that no authority mentions Harun ibn Musa al-Awr to be a student of Asim ibn Abi Bahdala in the Asim ibn Abi Najud in the biographical notes on Harun ibn Musa al-Awr. So all these famous Rijal books, they do not corroborate this fact. Similarly, viewers, no authority mentions Asim ibn Abi Najud to be a teacher of Harun ibn Musa al-Awr in the biographical notes which are found regarding Asim ibn Abi Najud. So neither in Asim ibn Abi Najud's biography, nor in the biographical notes on Harun ibn Musa, do we find this teacher-student relationship being established. This is also evident from the following narrative in which Abban ibn Yazid ibn Ahmad al-Attar is found between Harun ibn Musa and Asim ibn Abi Najud. So we can clearly spot the fact that there is a problem here. And as you can see that the narrative is being displayed before you, I am not going to read out its chain of narration, just read out its translation, and you can see that Abban ibn al-Attar exists between Asim ibn Bahdala and Harun ibn Musa al-Awr. So it says, Asim said to us, when I narrate to you from Zir, it is from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And when I narrate to you from Abu Abdurrahman al-Sulami, it is from Ali. Simple translation is there. But as you can see, the problem is that Harun ibn Musa al-Awr does not directly narrate from Asim ibn Bahdala or Asim ibn Abi Najud. There is a person called Abban al-Attar between them, and this clearly tells us that there is a problem in this narrative, and hence it cannot be regarded that the two were contemporaneous. So in all probability, Harun ibn Musa al-Awr did not hear from Asim ibn Bahdala, and hence we can see there is a case of a double inqita in this narrative as well. We now move on to the next narrative in this. Before I move on to the next narrative, another point of note in the previous narrative is that we were discussing is that Asim seems to be transmitting information that he is not likely to be contemporaneous to. And this includes Abu Abdurrahman al-Sulami and Zir ibn Hubaysh reading out the Quran to Ali and Ibn Mas'ud respectively. Obviously, he could not have been contemporaneous. So it's very likely the way it has been reported that he is not contemporaneous to this information. We now move on to the next narrative in this regard, viewers. And as you can see, that as far as its the details are concerned, they are being displayed before you, and I'm first going to just read out the text of the narrative, and then we shall have a discussion on the in the variant. So it says, حدثني أبو الحسن طاهر بن غلبون قال حدثنا علي بن محمد الحاشمي, and then we have a تهويل. وحدثنا فارس بن أحمد قال حدثنا عبد الله بن الحسين قال حدثنا أحمد بن الساهل قال حدثنا علي بن محسن, and then we have another تهويل. حدثنا محمد بن أحمد قال حدثنا ابن مجاهد قال حدثني وهب بن عبد الله قال حدثنا الحسن بن المبارك, and another تهويل comes along. So وحدثنا أبو الفتح قال حدثنا أبو الطاهر قال حدثنا إبراهيم قال حدثنا عبد الصمد بن محمد قالوا حدثنا عمرو بن الصباح عن حفص بن سليمان عن عاصم عن أبي عبد الرحمن السلمي عن علي بن أبي طالب وذكر عاصم أنه لم يخالف أبا عبد الرحمن في شيء من قراءته وأن أبا عبد الرحمن لم يخالف عليا في شيء من قراءته وأن أبا عبد الرحمن قال كنت ألقى زيد بن ثابت في الموسم فأجمع له أحرف فأجمع له أحرف علي علي بن أبي طالب وأسأله عنهم فما اختلفا إلا في سورة البقرة أن يأتيكم التابوت فقال علي بالطاء وقال زيد بالها لفظ الحديث للعيوني عبد الصمد بن محمد. So Hafs ibn Sulaiman said, and Asim mentioned that he did not the slightest differ with Abu Abdurrahman al-Sulami's reading. Abu Abdurrahman al-Sulami said, I met Zayd ibn Thabit during Hajj and presented before him the reading of Ali ibn Abi Talib and asked his opinion about it. I came to know the two of them did not differ with one another except at one place, which was a verse of Surah Baqarah, to be exact. It was verse 248 of Surah Baqarah, and which Ali read, أَنْ يَأْتِيَكُمُ التَّابُوتُ, and Zayd read with a ha. That would mean, أَنْ يَأْتِيَكُمُ التَّابُوتُ. Now, viewers, we can draw up the above narrative in the form of the following chart. As you can see, that is just being displayed before you. Now, the problem with this chain of narration are also numerous, and let me just recount the fact that the first of this is that Hafs ibn Sulaiman has a number of problems regarding the jar on him. I'm just going to read out the jar on him by Hafiz Mizzi, and we can clearly see the problems which emerge. And since Hafs here is acting as a transmitter of information, that is the reason that I have entertained the jar on him. Otherwise, had he been acting as a Quran reader merely, then I would not have entertained the jar on him. So in the opinion, I'm reading out the jar on Hafs ibn Sulaiman from Hafiz Mizzi, says Ibn Kamal. So in the opinion of Abu Abdurrahman ibn Abi Hatim, Abdurrahman ibn Yusuf ibn Kharash and Imam Muslim, all these three people, they regard him to be Munkar al-Hadith. Al-Bukhari comments on him as Tarakuhu. Ali ibn al-Madini and Abu Zura regard him to be Za'if al-Hadith. In the opinion of Yahya ibn Ma'in, as quoted by Abu Qudama Sarakhsi and Usman ibn Sayyid al-Darimi, he is Laysa Bisiqa. Al-Nisai also records him to be Laysa Bisiqa. Salih ibn Muhammad al-Baghdadi says that the ahadith narrated by him are not worth writing as primary evidence, and all of them mention unfamiliar things in religion. Abu Abdurrahman ibn Yusuf ibn Kharash says that he is a great liar and forges ahadith. Yahya ibn Ma'in also regards him to be a great liar. No tawseek is available on Amr ibn As-Sabah ibn Subayh. So this is the next problem which is found in the chain of narration. As you can see that his name is being indicated by a red arrow. He occurs just below Hafs ibn Sulaiman. We find that there is no tawseek available on him, even though both Ibn al-Jazari in his Ghayatul Nihaya and Zahabi in his Ma'rifatul Qurra al-Kubar, they mention him as an entry, but no tawseek is mentioned against his name, and therefore I will consign him to the category of Majhul. And now let us view the subsections of this narrative as well. We have three subsections. The leftmost subsection, or the first subsection of the chain, there is no tawseek available on Abdus Samad ibn Muhammad ibn Abi Imran. You can see that his name is being indicated by an arrow. There is no tawseek available on him, even though both Ibn al-Jazari and al-Zahabi, they mention him as an entry in their respective books. So hence, we will also consign him to the category of Majhul. Viewers, you can now look at the second subsection of this chain or this narrative. And now in this second subsection of the chain, no tawseek is available on Abul Qasim al-Hasan ibn Mubarak. And you can see that his name is also being displayed before you or indicated before you by an arrow, even though Ibn al-Jazri mentions him as an entry. And this he has mentioned is Al-Ghayat al-Nihaya. So therefore, we also will regard him to be majhul. Similarly, views, no tawseek is available on Muhammad ibn Ahmad ibn Ali al-Kalkatib, as you can see that his name is also being indicated and before you. It may be noted that both Zahabi and Ibn al-Jazari mention him as an entry. So although they mention him as an entry, but they do not mention any kind of tawseek on him, and therefore, again, I would not regard him to be reliable and consign him to be in the category of majhul. Let us now look at the third and final section of the chain. No tawseek again here is available on Ali ibn Mahsin, even though Ibn al-Jazari mentioned him as an entry. Again, you can see that his name is being indicated by an arrow. So no tawseek is available on Ali ibn Mahsin. And hence again, here too we will regard him to be in the category of majhul. Now it may be noted that Ahmad ibn Shibl is actually Ahmad ibn Sahal. So there seems to be a tasheef here. I'm just making this small correction in the light of other narratives that Ahmad ibn Shibl recorded in certain narratives actually is Ahmad ibn Sahal. So this is as far as this narrative is concerned. Now let's move on to the next narrative. And this next narrative, viewers, is recorded by Dani in his Jamil Bayan fil Qiraat al-Sab'a al-Mashhura. And the text reads, فَحَدَّثَنَا فَارِسُ بْنُ أَحْمَدْ قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا عَبْدُ اللَّهِ بْنُ الْحُسَيْنِ قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا مُحَمَّدْ بْنُ أَحْمَدْ بْنُ مُحَمَّدْ بْنُ شَمْبُوز قَالَ أَخْبَرَنِي جَدِّي السَّلْطِ قَالَ لِي أَبُو شُعَيْبَ الْقَوَّاسِ قَالَ لِي عَاصِمٍ مَا كَانَ مِنْ الْقِرَاءَةِ الَّتِي أَقْرَأْتُكَ بِهَا فَهِيَ الْقِرَاءَةُ الَّتِي قَرَأْتُ بِهَا عَلَى أَبِي عَبْدِ الرَّحْمَنِ عَنْ عَلِيِّ بْنِ أَبِي طَالِبٍ وما كان من القراءة التي أقرأت بها أبا بكر بن عياش فهي القراءة التي كنت أعرضها على زر بن حبيش عن عبد الله بن مسعود. So Abu Shu'ayb al-Qawwas, he said that Asim said to me, whatever reading I taught you, I acquired it from Abu Abdurrahman al-Sulami. And this is something of a pattern that has emerged in the previous narrative as well, that basically whatever he has acquired from Abu Abdurrahman al-Sulami is the one in which Abu Abdurrahman al-Sulami himself acquired it from Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And then he says that, and whatever reading I taught Abu Bakr ibn Ayyash, it is the one which I presented to Zir ibn Hubaysh. So to whatever he presented to Abu Bakr ibn Ayyash is actually the reading that he acquired from Zir ibn Hubaysh, who took his reading from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. So this is something of a pattern that we can have seen in the earlier narrative as well. Its chain of narration is being displayed before you. The problem here is that it contains a fallacy. And the fallacy is that Asim never transmitted his reading to Shu'ayb, Abu Shu'ayb al-Qawwas, as the narrative says. He never did so. He actually transmitted it to Hafs, who transmitted it to Abu Shu'ayb al-Qawwas. So Abu Shu'ayb al-Qawwas actually is a student of, Hafs, and there is no direct connection between the two. So Asim never transmitted his reading to Abu Shu'ayb al-Qawwas. It is Asim's student Hafs who transmitted this reading. And this is evident from various works, like, for example, Ibn al-Jazri's Ghayat al-Nihaya. Furthermore, viewers, no tawseek is available on Salt ibn Shambuz, even though Ibn al-Jazri mentions him as an entry in his Ghayat al-Nihaya. So therefore, he too has to be consigned to the category of majhul. And another problem here is that no tawseek is available on Abu Shu'ayb al-Qawwas himself, even though both Az-Zahabi and Ibn al-Jazri mention them respectively in their books, Ma'rifat al-Qurra al-Kibar and Ghayat al-Nihaya fi Tabaqat al-Qurra. So again, the problem persists, and we shall consign him to the category of majhul. Another problem with this narrative, viewers, is that it seems that Asim is transmitting information he is not likely to be contemporaneous to. This includes Abu Abdurrahman al-Sulami acquiring his reading from Ali and Zir ibn Hubaysh acquiring his reading from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. He could not have been contemporaneous. These are just reported things to him. So, viewers, until now we have discussed two teachers of Asim ibn Najud, and they are Abu Abdurrahman al-Sulami and Zir ibn Hubaysh. And you can clearly see that all the narratives that we have seen so far, it is difficult to establish them as teachers of Asim because of the weaknesses present in the narrative. Let us now move on to the third and final teacher of Asim, and he is Abu Amr Sa'id ibn Iyas al-Shaybani. And the narratives that describe him to be a teacher, now I'm going to read them before you. The first of them has been recorded by Dani in his Jam al-Bayan fil Qirat al-Sab' al-Mashura. It says, أخبرنا عبد العزيز بن جعفر قال حدثنا عبد الواحد بن عمر قال حدثنا ابن الأشعث قالنا أو حدثنا موسى بن هزام قالنا يحيى عن ابن أبي بكر عن عاصم قال كان أبو عمر الشيباني يقرأ القرآن في المسجد العظم فقرأت عليه. So it says, Asim ibn Najud said, Abu Umar al-Shaybani would teach the Quran at the great mosque, and I read out to him. You can see its chain of narration being displayed before you. It is said that Abu Umar Sayyid ibn Iyas al-Shaybani died at the age of 120, so he had a very long life in 101 Hijrah. He died when he was 120 years old. However, he was not a companion of the Prophet, in spite of the fact that he belonged to the era of the Prophet, but he was never a companion. And this has been specified by no other person than Ibn Hibban in his Siqat. So according to Adani and Ibn al-Jazri, he read out the Quran to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. So this is what they posit. The Jar on Abu Bakr ibn Ayyash has already been presented. You can see that he figures in this chain of narration, and therefore, because of the Jar on him, which is very, very hefty and very weighty, we cannot entertain this narrative. The fact that Ibn Mujahid and Az-Zahabi do not mention Abu Umar al-Shaybani to be a teacher of Asim, and given the fact that the above narrative, which mentions his name in this capacity, is not that sound, we cannot establish that he is a Quran teacher of Asim or not. So the narrative itself is not strong, and even the earliest authorities like Adani and Ibn al-Jazri, in their respective entries, they do not regard him, and when I say him, of course I mean Abu Umar Sayyid ibn Iyas al-Shaybani, to be teacher of Asim. It is also strange that it is only Abu Bakr ibn Ayyash who allegedly narrates from Asim that he read out to Abu Umar Sayyid ibn Iyas al-Shaybani. And furthermore, viewers, the problem is that the narrative does not mention from who Abu Umar ibn Iyas al-Shaybani acquired his reading. So this is another problem, and therefore this shows that he also is suspect as far as being a teacher of Asim is concerned. So in a nutshell, we can see that all these three teachers which have been reported in the Isnad-based content, Abu Abdul Rahman al-Sulami, Zir ibn Hubaysh, and Abu Umar al-Shaybani, all three of them are reported through chains which are not sound. And hence the question mark would arise at whether they reported, whether they are reportedly the teachers of Asim or not. Viewers, now let me take up this discussion to the end, because although we have seen that this or none of the teachers of Asim are established, but what about the teachers of the teachers of Asim are concerned? Let us also look at them as well and see how this chain moves further. So let me just give you a summary or a survey of the teachers of Asim, because they have been mentioned in the previous narratives, and these previous narratives do mention some of the teachers of the teachers of Asim. So just a summary, I'm not going to read out. The narrative is being displayed, these narratives would be displayed before you very briefly, but I'm not going to read out the complete text or the translation, just summarize them, because I've already read them out previously in this very talk earlier on. But it will just give you a view or a preview of the fact that the teachers of the teachers of Asim, how whether they are established or not. Although we know that none of the teachers of Asim are established, and this is perhaps enough to regard this narrative to be, or this chain of narration of this canonical reading to be munqata. But just to make further inroads in this, I have reviewed the teachers of the teachers of Asim. So the first narrative, you can see that it is being displayed before you. It shows that Asim's teachers, Abu Abdul Rahman al-Sulami and Zir ibn Hubaysh, and these are the two teachers of Asim, and they had two teachers, Ali ibn Abi Talib and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, respectively. So Abu Abdul Rahman al-Sulami's teacher, who is a teacher of Asim, so his teacher was Ali, and similarly Zir, who is also a teacher of Asim, so Zir's teacher is reported to be Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Because this narrative was shown to be unreliable, so therefore we cannot establish these two people to be the teachers of Asim's teachers. Another narrative, viewers, the second one, which is I'm going to display before you, which is perhaps the third one in order earlier on, is being now displayed before you. It says that Abu Abdurrahman ibn Sulami reported from Ali. Now, this again is a narrative which has been shown to be unreliable, and hence Ali cannot be regarded to be a teacher of Abu Abdurrahman al-Sulami. Although this narrative does say that Abu Abdurrahman al-Sulami is a teacher or a student of Ali, but since this narrative is not is well grounded, so therefore again this information is likely to be suspect. So the third narrative, which is actually the fourth in order, which I cited, shows that Asim's teachers, Abu Abdurrahman al-Sulami and Zir ibn Hubash, had again two teachers, again the same piece of information, Ali ibn Abi Talib and Abdullah ibn Masud respectively. But since this narrative also was shown to be weak, so therefore it cannot be established that Abu Abdurrahman al-Sulami and Zir ibn Hubash teachers who they were. Finally, viewers, we come to the fourth narrative in this regard, and this I'm going to cite before you because it has not been discussed before. It says that narrative says, I'm just going to read out the narrative, حَدَّثَنِي إِبْرَاهِيمُ بْنُ أَحْمَدُ بْنِ مَرْوَانَ الْوَاسِطِي حَدَّثَنَا مُحَمَّدُ بْنُ خَالِدُ بْنِ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ الْوَاسِطِي قَالَ سَمِعْتُ حَفْصَ بْنِ سُلَيْمَانَ الْكُوفِي عَنْ عَاصِمٍ قَالَ أَبُو عَبْدِ الرَّحْمَنِ قَرَأْتُ عَلَى عَلِيٍّ فَأَكْثَرْتُ وَأَمْسَكْتُ عَلَيْهِ فَأَكْثَرْتُ وَأَقْرَأْتُ الْحَسَنَ وَالْحُسَيْنَ حَتَّى خَتَمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَلَقِيتُ زَيْدَ بْنَ ثَابِتٍ بِحُرُوفِ الْقُرْآنِ فَمَا خَالَفَ عَلِيًّا فِي حَرْفٍ فَلَوْ أَضَافَ مُضِيفٌ قِرَاءَةَ عَاصِمٍ كُلَّهَا إِلَى النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لَمَا كَانَ مُعَنَّفًا. So Abu Abdurrahman al-Sulami said, I read out the Quran to Ali many times. I held the Mus'haf before him and did this many a time. I also taught al-Hasan and al-Husayn the Quran till they finished it. I met Zayd ibn Thabit regarding the recitals of the Quran. He did not differ with Ali at a single instance. At-Tahawi said, if a person ascribes the complete reading of Asim to the Prophet, he will not be exceeding the limit. So this is actually a narrative which has been recorded by Imam Tahawi. He's recorded in Sharah Mushkil al-Asar. You can see that his chain of narration is being displayed before you. This is suspect because of the reason that I'm just now going to narrate before you. So Ibrahim ibn Ahmad ibn Marwan al-Wasiti, as you can see that his name is being indicated in the chart before you by an arrow. He is Laysa bil-Qawi in the opinion of Dharqutni. And this he has recorded in his, this has been recorded by Zahabi in Mizar al-Etidal, that Dharqutni says that he is Laysa bil-Qawi. Now, Muhammad ibn Khalid ibn Abdullah al-Wasiti, he also figures in this chain of narration. He is very suspect. And the jar which Hafiz Mizzi has recorded on him in his Tazib al-Kamal says that Yahya ibn Ma'in says that he is La Shay. Another opinion ascribed to Yahya about him is that he is a Rajulun Su Kazab. So he's a Rajulun Su Kazab. He's a person who's an evil and he's a liar. Abu Zura also says that he is Rajulun Su, that he's a person who is an evil person. And Wahab al-Fami says that he heard Muhammad ibn Khalid ibn Abdullah al-Wasiti say that he has only heard one narrative from his father, whereas he has narrated many narratives from him. So although he has just heard a single narrative from his father, he actually narrates many others which he has not heard from him. Abu Zura says that he is Zaif and that he was told by Amr ibn Aun that Muhammad ibn Khalid ibn Abdullah al-Wasiti has narrated from his father a book which his father narrates from Al-Amash. Abu Zura then asserts that his father has not heard a single word from Al-Amash. So although the inscription is there to Al-Amash, but Abu Zura actually underscores the fact that he hasn't heard a single word from Al-Amash. Ibn Hibban says, Yukhti wa yukhalif. Ibn Hajar says about him is that he is za'ifun jiddan. So it may also be noted, according to Abu Hatim, that no narratives of Abu Abdurrahman al-Sulami can be validated from Ali. So this is what has been cited by Ibn Abi Hatim in his Al-Marasil. So it is said that there is no narrative of Abu Abdurrahman al-Sulami which can actually be corroborated or validated from Ali. And the word that he has used is Laysa tasbuto rawayatuhu an Ali. So whatever Abu Abdurrahman al-Sulami reports from Ali is not substantiated, is not validated. So on the contrary, Shoba and Al-Bukhari positively say that As-Sulami heard from Ali. So although there is this the fact that one authority says that his narratives from Ali are not sabit, they are not established, but we have other people say on the other hand. But the person who negates is a very strong authority, and is Ibn Abi Hatim, which of course is a person who is one of the earliest authorities on this subject. So viewers, in a nutshell, I can now summarize my discussion before you regarding Asim ibn Bahdala, that none of his three teachers, which are claimed by the Asnad base content to be his teachers, are established. So Abu Abdurrahman al-Sulami, Zir ibn Hubaysh, and Abu Umar al-Shaybani, all three of them are not established as teachers. And the problem furthermore is aggravated by the fact that none of the teachers of these three teachers are also established by the Isnad based content. And so if my contention is true regarding this whole data that I presented before you, then you can clearly see that the Isnad of Asim's reading is totally munkata. It does not go beyond himself. His teachers and the teachers of his teachers cannot be reliably established. أَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ